I'm David Schreiner Kahn, and this is Smashing the Plateau. No matter how successful you are, there's probably at least one area where roadblocks are keeping you from fully achieving your goals. Fortunately, you've come to the right place. Every expert I interview on this podcast is different, but they all have one thing in common. They know how to fix problems that keep people stuck. Today, I'm pleased to welcome Nicole Valentine. Nicole worked as a Wall Street corporate M&A lawyer before launching her New York-based business consultancy, Synergy Business Development. Nicole advises startup CEOs, strategy teams at Fortune 500 companies, and social entrepreneurs in the areas of business development and strategic growth. Last year, Nicole launched a business strategy app, Winly, to deliver her business growth methodology to entrepreneurs around the world. Nicole, it's so great to have you on. Welcome to the show.
Hello. Hello. Good morning. Thank you for having me, David.
Great. And I want to also acknowledge Brian Honigman, who was a guest on episode 59, who connected us. I wondered if we could start off by you talking a little bit about your passion. Like, what are you passionate about? Because it's interesting that you've had this journey from the corporate space to the startup space, which is probably not the most typical path. I know people do it, but usually there's some great story behind that. So I wonder if we could start off by you talking about your story.
So I am passionate about opportunities and creating opportunities. It is something I've probably been doing from a very early age. And I'm a child of entrepreneurs. So if you grow up with, you know, parents as business owners and grandparents and great-grandparents as business owners, there is something that catches on to you around creating new products, new services, serving new customers, entering into new markets. And so the question that all of my, you know, parents, grandparents, and great-grandparents have asked themselves is, what am I doing? How am I doing it? How am I making things better? And how am I bringing something new and excellent, more excellent to this particular business industry? And that's really where, how I've been raised and what I've grown up under. And so as I have formed my view of the world, it definitely comes from that background and stepping into the space of today and the skills that I've been able to acquire through being a lawyer, doing deals, working with companies on their exits. That experience, I wanted to take that and bring it to another part of the business life cycle, which is the startup cycle, which is the beginning, which is where all the creation is happening. So my passion is really being a part of the idea creation phase and turning that into what I've seen could be a enterprise, something that can be globally impactful, something that can be a part of this new. And so that's the space I'm in. If ever you're with me and we're having a conversation and we are spending time together, I'm always in that mindset of, what are we creating? How are we making things better? And how are we serving the new experiences of people better?
Nicole, I want to pick up on something you just said, actually, which is working with companies on their exit. In your mind, is there a connection between all the work that you've done helping companies exit with the beginning process that you're so heavily involved in now?
There is. You know, it's interesting because I've just been doing a little bit of writing about what the end can teach you about the beginning. And, you know, I spent a lot of time, spent almost 10 years of my career at the, let's say, the 10-yard line going into the goal, right? So that's where the business is ready to sell, merge, they're going to be acquired. And so that work is bringing all of that business information together, making the two parties who are in that buy-sell transaction, getting into negotiations around what kind of risks they're going to take, what kind of liabilities they're going to take as they move into their next vision of how they're going to leverage what's been a business up until then, and that type of business. So all of that thinking about what's next after a merger, what's next after the combination, what's next after the acquisition, is really a new beginning for that business. So I look at the beginning of businesses, where you are at the other side of the field. I said, what can the end teach you about the beginning? And my takeaway is the end can teach you that you have to have a system. You have to have a business that you can put into a box. It could be outside of the box business, but you have to be able to put it in a box and have it represented with all of the elements that are in a traditional business. And you have to be able to take that box and place it in different places in the market, in different markets, serving different customers. You have to be able to move that box around. And you can use that box, you can tweak that box, you can iterate on that box, but it has to be within a box. Because when it's time to get to the end, where you want to share and sell and exit, you have to have a box to deliver to that seller or to that new partner. And what happens, I think, in the beginning, that's an issue for business owners is there's not enough in that box. There are ideas, there are some really amazing innovation and thinking, and maybe there are a couple of other great elements, some team members, but there's so much more that goes into that box before you can get to that end. And that's what mergers and acquisitions has taught me. It's taught me the formulas and the frameworks by which the marketplace views a business that is mature enough to get to an exit. And so that maturity experience is really what I spend a lot of time on in the early stages.
Yeah, and it's interesting because particularly in small business owners in the non-tech space, many of them don't think about exit strategy at all. It's just about what I'm doing today to put food on the table.
Yes. And it's interesting because I have worked with, and I continue to work with, non-tech business owners. And there are a lot of decisions that go into why you are a business owner. And there are a lot of different reasons why people become business owners. And so it's not a one size fits all. I'm a business owner because I want to create this innovative global product. Some business owners say I want to be a business owner because I want to dictate my own schedule. I want to be the boss. I want to create a team. I want to deliver to this local community something that's sustainable. I want to have a legacy for my family. So there are lots of different reasons why we get into business. I work with a lot of creative people, and one of my creative designers said he really thinks that people create businesses as an excuse to spend time with each other.
Interesting.
And I thought that was interesting, right? I thought, wow, yeah, why are we creating these businesses? Because we want to set up communities, we want to set up dynamics. You know, we want to enter into, you know, a buy-sell transaction so we can have some satisfaction. Does it give us happiness? You know, why are we creating these businesses?
So let's talk a little bit about creativity and what it takes to create a culture that supports creativity and innovation. I know mindset is really important to being able to be creative. I wondered if you could talk a little bit about your experience of how to create that that vibrant culture that's so important, the community feeling, etc.?
Well, you know, it's interesting about, you know, creativity. You know, for me, creativity is celebrating and embracing a different point of view. And in environments where there's a lot of this is the only way, I think you're missing out on the growth and the new experiences you can create by bringing different perspectives. And what I've learned about a lot of businesses, especially mature businesses, and you can see this in the economy right now, you can see a lot of mature businesses, they're starting accelerators, they're starting innovation labs, they're looking outside of their business to get creative thought into their business. Because when you start your business, what you really want to do is create a system. You want to create the system that everyone follows, that's a repeatable, executable business process that delivers to the client in a very consistent way. And so the people that you are building your business with may not be the ones that, when you turn 100 years old, are going to be the ones that are going to disrupt or be ahead of the next businesses trying to disrupt you. So I think fostering creativity is a business imperative. It is a business requirement. And getting out of your own way of this is how we've always done it is going to be the first mindset shift that's needed among CEOs, executives, established companies, new businesses who start with old mindsets because they're bringing an old mindset from a corporate culture and they're bringing it to their business. So they're not really doing anything new. They're just, you know, bringing it to a new environment, but they're not bringing a new culture. So those are things that habits that are carried forward. But the new habit and this habit of let's be creative and let's also value the creative teams. Let's not look at them as, you know, they're not as valuable because they're going to be the teams that keep your business viable and keep your business connected to the new markets that are and new customers that have new appetites for your service and product.
Interesting. Nicole, there's another issue with regard to teams that comes up quite frequently in business, which is when you're involved in a merger or acquisition, getting teams to be engaged, strong, and productive as you're going through the merger and acquisition process can be a real challenge. And I wondered if you could talk a little bit about your experience and maybe some tips for people who are going through that process of what they can do to try to enhance engagement.
You know, there's a lot of simplicity that I don't think we're bringing forward to the business environment. And the simplicity is communication. I think in mergers and acquisitions and deals, there's obviously a lot of components where there are not announcements. So you're not able to disclose what's really going on in some circumstances to certain groups. You don't want to get it out into the public until there's an announcement and the filings are made and with the appropriate regulatory authorities. So there's, you know, to the extent that you can make announcements and you can share where the business is going and when the deal is announced and it's getting into closing space, which is, I think, the time where people get a little concerned about their standing in the company. They don't know whether they are, let's say, redundant. They're not going to have a place in this new vision of a business. And so that's a place where I think teams get a little political, you know, get a little territorial, and you get to see how people are when there's that kind of pressure and uncertainty and change. And so what I see is a great strategy in those circumstances is for leadership to be clear with their communication about how they see the new company. And if there are changes that are going to be made, changes in with the functions that of those team members, then give the people within the company, the team that has built the company to that position, give them the opportunity to be a part of what's new, retool themselves, be a part of what the next could be without just pressing delete. And I think people and teams feel like in the business environment, people are, you know, leaders make that push that delete button too soon, too fast, too frequently, and without consideration of how that team member can grow into a new role or grow with the business.
Yeah, no, that's a great tip. So communication is really important.
Always. It's important in every step of the way. And it's interesting because we've shifted our mode of communications. We're texting, we're being very quick, and that conversation that is going to give some more context, add to the conversation around your tone, and really go into a deeper place of communication is being lost. And so we have to figure out how to get what we need with better communication.
Yeah, I think people way too often overlook the value of face-to-face communication.
Yes. Yes. I spend a lot of time with face-to-face communication and just picking up the phone. I get so much more from that kind of exchange. And so if you say, what's the tip? You know, go back to the basics. But for some people, that's not even a basic.
Nicole, what tips do you have for entrepreneurs about creating the right business architecture?
Well, first of all, the architecture is your blueprint. And your blueprint has some components that are going to be consistent. So you're going to have a blueprint that includes, let's say, your top layer is your strategic component. You're going to have a blueprint where at the top, there's your strategy, there's your finances. You're going to have a component, let's say, at the lower end, where it's the components that enable your business. So your technology, your knowledge management. You're going to have those elements that are very consistent with every business. Your communication strategies, your administration. But right in the middle of your architecture, right in the core of your business architecture, there is what makes you unique. What is that value that you're bringing to the marketplace? What's your differential? And so that's the piece where your innovation is, where you connect to your customer. What are you delivering to your customer? And so your architecture needs to be consistent with what's traditionally within a business. You know, traditionally you have to have a financial strategy. You have to have a growth strategy. You have to have a technology strategy, a communication strategy. Those are consistent with every business. But right in that middle, that's where all of your magic is happening, because that's where you're connecting and interfacing to the marketplace.
And it sounds like that's also part of understanding your why you're doing what you're doing.
Yes. it is your why, and it is your what you're doing, and your strategy is your how you're doing it, and your technology, which I think is evolving in business architecture. So, you know, your technology can be what both enables your business to be efficient and productive, and, you know, easy, you know, easier, and all of those things that technology can do for a business. But your technology can also be a part of your core. It could be an element, a component of your magic.
Sounds good. Nicole, in the last few years, we've seen more and more mid-career professionals who want to leave corporate life and start their own business. Do you have any advice for people in that space?
I get asked that question from actually people who are in that very scenario where they've had something they've wanted to do for a very long time, and they've put it on hold because, like we said before, you know, you have to pay the bills and get the kids through school and just be, you know, a responsible person, right? That's the definition of I'm a responsible citizen. And so there's a lot of people with amazing ideas that want to launch those ideas. And what I say to them is, you have this idea, you have this passion. There's a couple of ways to get it out into the marketplace. You can start a business. You can start a business. That is one way of getting your idea into the marketplace. But let's go through all of the elements of what it takes to start a business and get this business into a place of maturity. Now let's talk about some other alternatives of how you can get your idea into the marketplace and still be in business. You can be in business if you take this idea, take this amazing product, and figure out if there's a partner out there that you can collaborate with. Is there a business out there already that can leverage and get value from your innovation, your idea, your product, that already has a distribution channel, that already has access to, you know, a large retail chain? You don't always have to reinvent the wheel to get your innovation out there, to get your service out there. You can come out into the marketplace and find a partner, an existing business that could grow from your collaboration. So I think that there's two ways to get into business. You can start, or you can align yourself with another business. And figuring out, do you have that startup personality, that startup grit? Do you want to do it that way? Or is there a way to collaborate and partner with an existing business?
You know, I think too many people don't think about the alignment option, finding someone to collaborate with, or some group to collaborate with. That's a really important tip. So speaking about being there with entrepreneurs, I wonder if you could talk a little bit about your own successes and where you've been challenged.
So, yes, I have been challenged, and I have had some successes. Like I said, I'm a consultant that I consult, I advise. So I sit in a very, I'm an expert, I'm an authority, listen to me, this is the pattern, I'm going to give you this advice. And then I get on the other side of the table, and I'm an entrepreneur who could use some coaching myself by someone else, right? Because you need to, it's a constant journey to take your own medicine. And so in that regard, I've been doing some new things. And I would say successfully, I've been able to take everything that's in my brain, which there's a lot going on up here, and translate it into a product. And as a strategist and as, you know, a growth guide navigator for small businesses and startups within companies, I really wanted to turn what's up here into a product. And I would say that's both a success and a challenge. So it's kind of on both sides of the coin. It's a success because I was able to accomplish it. It's a challenge because whenever you're building product, and this is my first foray into building product and a creating product, it is an iterative process. And you really want to spend a lot of time working on this product. It really could consume you. And so my challenge is I always want to be in the lab. And the very collaboration and partnership and growth and spending time outside of the lab that I encourage entrepreneurs to do, I myself want to go into the lab and spend more time on my product and connecting it to the entrepreneur and connecting it to my audience, who is that entrepreneur. So I feel like there's more successes to come and there are more challenges to come, and I'm embracing all of it.
It sounds very exciting. I wondered if you could share a little bit of the details of what you're working on.
So I started out with a beta. And one thing about app development is you launch with your beta, you launch with your first version, and then you keep iterating and creating new versions. So the first version of Winly, which I launched in February, is a strategy application for business owners to keep, collect, capture, download a business profile. And they can update that business profile. And that business profile is their compass, is their business compass. And their compass are these elements of business that I said you need to have in the box. So you're inputting data on what you need to have in your business information box. And then you keep updating that information, your innovation, your products, your services, your finances, your customers, all these things that you need to know about your business are in a box. And then you go through and you work on these 12 playbooks and you choose your strategies. You choose a few strategies and you work on these growth components of your business. This is all growth oriented. And so I launched in February, and I'm re-releasing a new design in the next month. And so there'll be a new look and feel, a little bit of a new experience. You know, you launch with your ugly baby, and then you make your baby prettier, because you always want to launch with the most perfect product, but that doesn't always happen, especially in startups. So I didn't launch with the prettiest product, but the bones are there, the core. Design and content is there. And so I'm in my next phase and my next design release. As I've been going through this journey, I've learned through my users, through my customers, through the Winly downloaders, that they want to connect their business profiles and their strategies to other business owners. And okay, Eureka. Let's look at developing a platform, a marketplace, a community. And so I'm now working on turning this Winly experience into a Winly community, a community of business owners, community of business consultants and strategists that are giving entrepreneurs exactly what they need in that moment. On-demand business strategy is what business owners need. Now, there's a lot of product and services out in the marketplace for business owners and entrepreneurs. You can get a better delivery. You can get a better website. You can get a better, you know, there's a lot of things that you can get in the marketplace. What's hard to get without paying lots and lots and lots of money are business strategies that you need in the moment from experts or peers who can help you guide you along the way because they're in it right now. And that's what's next for Winly.
That's really exciting.
You see why I wake up at 5 o'clock a.m. every morning. I'm excited about building this community.
Nicole, you mentioned that guides are very important in business. Has been important to it's important to others and important to you. I wondered if you could talk a little bit about who has influenced you in your career.
I'm one of these people who I can step outside my door and see, you know, a family of deer walking down the street and be influenced by seeing that moment. So I am influenced by people, by nature, by what I see, by what I hear. And I take those nuggets and I store them. And then they come back up at the right time in my life and in my business journey. But there's a writer, an author who I've been reading his work, I would say since, you know, the early 2000s, Malcolm Gladwell. And just in terms of, I've read most of his books, and whenever I read his books, and I can read his books over and over again, the takeaways I get from the writing of Malcolm Gladwell and his Tipping Point and David and Goliath and, you know, Blink, is there's a surface way of looking at things, and then there's this deeper experience with information, knowledge, context, history, patterns, people. And I enjoy learning the way that he takes all of this data, all this information, and he weaves a way for it to make sense. And I think that's just what we do as people every day. We have so much data, so much information, and we're constantly on this journey weaving it together for it to make sense. Now, I don't spend a lot of time on the surface. I spend a lot of time, let's say, in the Malcolm Gladwell zone, where I'm analyzing and I'm capturing and I'm discovering, and I want to hear a new perspective on something. And Malcolm Gladwell, he inspires me.
You're right. Malcolm Gladwell does always seem to be breaking new ground in his thoughts.
Yes.
Yeah. Nicole, who do you know personally who's doing remarkable work?
Well, I have a lot of answers to that, because I know a lot of great social entrepreneurs and people who are in the space of working with young people, mentoring young people, and turning them into the next leaders and thought leaders. So I'm on the board of a nonprofit, the Brotherhood Sister Soul, and the founders there, Kari Lazar White and Jason Warren, are two of the most amazing people I know. And they spent 20 years in their building on a model, on a youth development model. So development happens in businesses, and development happens, you know, in your personal life. And developing youth into amazing adults is worthy, and it's our future. And so, as someone who's involved in the future of building tech to serve entrepreneurs, this team of social entrepreneurs are building people, building youth into amazing change makers. So I'm excited about the work they're doing at the Brotherhood Sister Soul. And I'm also excited about a client I just brought on as well. I'm going to be a strategic advisor to a cloud computing enterprise. And I'm just excited about what we can do with a better way of capturing, collecting, and analyzing data, and the speed in which speeding up that process, what that process is going to do in the marketplace and for society.
Very exciting. Nicole, how can listeners learn more about you and Winley?
So I've been spending a lot of time on Instagram, I love Instagram. It's one of my favorite apps. I've been Instagramming at my name, Nicole G. Valentine, and I've been writing, you know, I have a tech talk on there. I've been writing about entrepreneurship on there and posting photos. And I've also been writing a series on how to date an entrepreneur. I've been having lots of fun with that, dating meets entrepreneurship. So that's my Instagram. And then my website is www.winleyapp.com. And that's where all information about Winley and new releases and what Winley is sits. I'm in lots of places on the web, but those are two places where I would say is the good to reach me. Instagram, Nicole G. Valentine, and winleyapp.com.
That's great. Nicole, thank you so much for taking the time to join us today on Smashing the Plateau. It's been a really thought-provoking conversation, and I'm sure listeners will learn a lot from listening to this. My guest today has been Nicole Valentine, President and Chief Strategy Officer of Synergy Business Development. Thank you again, Nicole, for joining us.
Thank you, David.
You've been listening to Smashing the Plateau, the podcast produced by 10 Strategic Partners. Be sure to visit our website at smashingtheplateau.com and join our email list to hear many more great interviews like this one. And if you like what you heard, please leave us a review on iTunes by going to smashingtheplateau.com/iTunes. I'm your host, David Schreiner-Kahn, and we'll be talking again soon.